All right, Isaiah 41:10. I'm going to read that one more time, and I want to pray one more time before we get started. But before we do, I just want to make sure everybody has a copy of the notes. They should be in your bulletin from this morning. Does anybody need a copy of the bulletin that has those notes inside? Looks like one back here. All right, Isaiah 41:10. Again, I know Brother David read this earlier, but I want to read it again, and I'd like to pray before we get started. So the Bible says in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Let's pray. Father, help me tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please give me the words to say. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would not just be present in me, but would be present in all of us this evening and speak to us. This area of fear and stress and worry is something that we all deal with from time to time, if not very often. And Lord, I just pray that just that you'd encourage us tonight with this verse, with your word, and help us in a mighty way as we look at a biblical formula to defeating fear, stress, and worry. Lord, we love you, and thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Satan has many tools in his toolbox to get us to, I guess, believe less in the God who has created us, in the God who has sent his Son to save us. And I'd say one of the biggest tools that Satan uses is this idea of stress, fear, and worry. And understand when I say any three of those terms tonight, stress, fear, or worry, really I'm using them interchangeably because they're all very, very similar. As you can see in our society, as fast-paced as it is, stress is at an all-time high. Worry is at an all-time high. And with the election that we have coming here in just a couple of weeks, or well, just a week, I guess, 1 week, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear about the outcome, what's going to happen to this country. Whether Trump wins or Biden wins, there's a lot of worry, there's a lot of stress. But we need to just settle down. We need to allow the Lord to just control and allow him to do what his plan is. You know, there's so many things that are out of our control, that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter who we turn to other than the Lord, it's not going to change. And I was talking with somebody the other night, and I've been reading this book by Paul Chappell, and he makes this statement. He says, anything that is out of our control is in God's plan. And we need to remember that. We need to remember to just let go and let God do what he is going to do. And I think that will take us a long way in being able to handle the fear and stress and worry that we face on a regular basis. But before we start breaking down and looking at this particular verse, in a few moments I'm actually going to take this verse phrase by phrase, And hopefully it'll be an encouragement to us tonight with handling our fear and our stress and our worry that we have. But before we do, I want to look at an Old Testament example from the life of David of how to handle stress. So if you could, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to start in chapter 15 first. And I want you to see, first of all, as just by way of introduction, David's stressful situation. David's stressful situation. So beginning in 2 Samuel chapter 15, look with me at verses 13 and 14. The Bible says there, "And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." Absalom is David's son. And David is fearful, is is hurting, is struggling already with what has happened with Absalom. Absalom has convinced a large portion of the people of Israel to begin to follow him, and this becomes real in David's heart, and he, as the news comes to him, and there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem. So at this time, he's still at Jerusalem. He says, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." Now, did the Lord command him to flee? No, he did not. He did not. You know, and that is oftentimes the first mistake that we make when we face stress and fear and worry, is we want to turn and go the other way. We want to run from it. We want to do everything that we can to just not have any part of it in our life. But sometimes the Lord allows these situations like this for us to grow, to get closer to Him, and to learn to love the Lord more and to trust Him more through it. But unfortunately, David, it says, "Arise and let us flee," and that's what he did. Absalom betrays his father, conspires against him. Turn and then look over with me at verses 25 through 29, just continuing to talk about this stressful situation that David is in. Verse 25 says, "And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. So when he left Jerusalem, he brought the ark of the covenant with him," David. He tells the priest Zadok, "Carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and its habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him." The king said also unto Zadok the priest, "Art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me." In other words, to come back. Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. You know, this is a very, very important thing that David did. You know, David looked at the Ark of the Covenant as a source of comfort and strength. It was a symbol of God's presence. And he commanded the priest to take it back into Jerusalem and back in its place there. You know, and that's another thing that again, I don't believe the Lord necessarily commanded him to do. Maybe he thought he was doing what was right, but he literally removed, in a sense, the presence of God from him for that moment. And that's another thing that we have to learn here, is that we have got to have God's presence. We've got to be in His presence when we're going through this stress, fear, and worry. All right, look at the next verse, verse 30. And this kind of gives you an idea of the emotions that are going on with David. "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went." You know, when the men covered their head and removed their feet, it was a sign of deep, deep sorrow, deep, deep hurt and pain. And that's exactly what David was going through, deep mourning. And then continuing on here, some more things continue to happen. Look at the next verse, verse 31. So as he's moving up the hill, and I believe this happened as they were walking and weeping. "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Ahithophel was David's most trusted counselor. And he was a very important man to David. And so in the midst of all of this, David flees Jerusalem. He sends the ark back to Jerusalem. Presence of God, in a sense, had left him. He's weeping. He's emotional. And then he hears that his number one counselor has left him to join his son in this rebellion. So just a miserable, miserable situation that David finds himself in. All right, the next thing I want you to see, that his stress increases. More things begin to happen. Turn with me over to chapter 16. Look at verses 5 through 9 with me. So this is probably within the next couple of weeks, maybe a couple of days after the events that we've just read. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of the king of David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. So to add insult to injury, basically this man, Shimei, was his whole purpose here was just to rub in David's face what was going wrong. To just to make it so much more apparent to David that he had failed, that his son was now going to take over the kingdom, and just to make David feel that much worse. And just an interesting situation here. But I do want you to see what David does here. And this is the next thing. In the midst of stress, fear, and worry, David does what is right. David does what is right. So let's continue reading on in verse 10. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse. And I want you to underline this next phrase. Mark it in your Bible if you're in the habit of doing that. For the Lord hath bidden him. For the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. So David says, let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. You know, we have to understand that anything, again, I said this earlier, anything out of the control, out of our control, is in God's plan. When we can get to the place where we can look at an ugly situation that is full of fear and stress and worry, when we can get to the place where we can look at it and just say, the Lord hath bidden it to happen, and let God do what he is going to do, trusting him, we will get victory over that fear, worry, and stress. And I want you to see the result, the last thing of the introduction, the result of doing right in the middle of a stressful situation. That result was David was refreshed. That next verse, 2 Samuel 16:14, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary. They were weary. But then notice what it says, and refreshed themselves there. I believe if David would have allowed his soldier, his general, to go and just take off the head of Shimei, that him and his men would not have been refreshed. I don't think that the Lord would have granted him with that blessing if he had done the wrong thing there, but David did what was right. So tonight, the first thing that I can say before we can even get into Isaiah 41:10 is, regardless of how fearful, how full of worry you are as you sit there tonight, how stressed out you are about whatever situation it is that the Lord has allowed in your life, the number one thing that we cannot allow ourselves to do is to stop doing right. We have got to keep doing right, and the Lord will refresh us. He will refresh us. His word tells us that over and over again. All right, well, let's go ahead and turn back to Isaiah 41:10. And like I said, I want to be an encouragement tonight to you. I want to try to help you as best as I can with the Lord's help. In just being an encouragement about the fear, the worry, and the stress that maybe we're struggling with this evening. And I want to just look at this verse phrase by phrase and talk about each of these things. And I pray the Lord will encourage us tonight. So Isaiah 41:10, the first, number one, fear thou not. Fear thou not. And I have referenced there 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And I think we know this verse. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God's word over and over and over tells us to be not afraid. In some form or another, God uses that phrase. And then oftentimes after He uses that phrase, be not afraid, it follows with, I am with thee, or I am thy God. That right there should be enough to give us a calm and a victory in and of itself. He says, be not afraid, for I am with thee, I am thy God. And we'll look a little bit further at that here in just a moment. You know, again, I talked about this earlier. Fear is one of Satan's greatest tools. And out of fear comes worry and stress, which basically the purpose of Satan, the reason that he throws these kind of things at us and we allow ourselves to be sucked into it is because he wants us to have unbelief. He wants us to have a lack of faith. We've heard it said that worry is spiritual atheism. Basically, fear and worry says that God is not there to be in control of whatever it is that we are worrying about. Understand that. Think about that. When we are so worried and so fearful that that's all we are focusing on, we are literally saying that God can't do it. He's not going to take care of it. And we get ourselves into that rut sometimes when we're so deep in the worry and fear. When we worry, we heed to our flesh and to the enemy. When worry starts to take a hold of us, we have to go to the power that is available to us. Multiple powers. The power of God's Word. The power of prayer. The power of His presence. We have to go to those things. Ask God in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ to bind Satan and his demons from penetrating your mind with worry and fear. And ask Him to fill us with the power to get our flesh controlled. There is so much power when we pray fervently for that. And I want to give you just a couple of verses that maybe we can use and claim for this, to just have victory over fearing. Fear thou not. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And these are verses that again, I believe you know. I'm not really going to present to you anything groundbreaking tonight. But the question is, are we using what God has given to us that we're so familiar with? Sometimes we are so familiar with stuff that we kind of just place it aside and don't even consider it. These verses are so helpful to us. Look with me again at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing," or in other words, don't worry. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Notice that it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That is a key part of it there. If we are not thankful in all things, then we are not doing the will of God. We're not doing the will of God. We should be thankful for these hurdles that the Lord has allowed in our life. Because all He wants from it is to grow closer. And He wants us to grow closer to Him. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then look what will happen when we do that. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then it begins to talk about, really as a theme here, contentment. You know, contentment is so very key with this as well. You know, oftentimes we get discontent about something, and as a result of that, fear and stress and worry occurs. And then we look at Philippians 4:13, one of the most well-known verses in all of the Bible. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But the problem is we can't expect that to be true in our life if we are not content in the situation that we are in right now. If we are lacking contentment, then we can't expect God to do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We have to be content. But use those verses. Use Philippians 4 and 7, pray them back unto the Lord. Claim them as promises. And claim verse 13 and work on your contentment in accepting these things as things that the Lord is going to use in your heart and life to draw Him closer to you. So number one, fear thou not. And actually, one more thing, one more verse that I wanted to point out to you, and this isn't in your notes, you can just write it down. Psalm 34 and verse 4. Psalm 34 and verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord, meaning He diligently seeked after the Lord. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34, 4. Again, write that down. That's another great verse to use and claim right now if you're struggling. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. When we become fearful, we have to stop and seek the Lord and nothing else. Think about this for a moment. When your children, if for those of you who have had children, and maybe a close friend or somebody like that that is close to you, but think about this as parents. When your children have cried out to you when they are in legitimate fear or worry, you know, sometimes our kids cry out to us and it's not a legitimate concern. John's laughing at me. It sounds like he does that all the time. Yeah. But sometimes our kids do cry out in legitimate fear, concern, they're in pain, whatever the case may be. Think about a situation like that. You didn't wait. You didn't ignore the cry. You went to their rescue. And understand that Jesus speaks about this idea in Matthew chapter 7, that and basically says that if our son asks for bread, would we give him a stone? Or if our son were to ask us for a fish, would we give him a serpent? The obvious answer is no. So Jesus says, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? You know, if we as fleshly human beings that are fallen because of sin, if we react in a way with our kids like that, where we're just ready to jump at their aid, again, how much more is the Lord going to help us and be there right by our side when we cry out to Him? We just have to be willing to do it and do it fervently. All right, so that's number one. So number two, for I am with thee. For I am with thee. We know Psalm 23, again, one of the most famous chapters in all the Bible. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're in Isaiah 41. Turn over with me a couple chapters to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, look at the first three verses with me. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now, He's talking to Jacob, talking to Israel there, but He's also talking to us. He's talking to us as well. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Just some powerful verses that God promises us. When the water's rising and we feel like we're about to drown, He's there. He's right there with us. Turn over with me to one more spot that I want you to see, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Just again, just trying to encourage our hearts tonight. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 29. This is Jesus speaking and teaching. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29, the Lord says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. The Lord knows what's going on with us at every single moment. He knows the hairs of our head. He knows what's behind. He knows what's before. He knows what's on our right, what's on our left. We just have to yield and trust in Him and give it all over to Him. And here's the question that I want to ask. Do we believe these things? God has given us these things in His Word. And the bottom line is, do we believe it? We would all probably say, yeah, we believe that God is omnipresent, meaning that He's everywhere. But do you really believe that God, the God of creation and our Savior, is right there by your side? You know, God's Word says that He is. And we've already seen that. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says this. Hebrews 13, 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Do we believe that? Is it apparent in our lives? And then basically that New Testament verse comes from the thought that is given to us in Deuteronomy 31, 6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." You know, with verses like that, I wonder why. Why is it that we're fearful? Why is it that we're worrying? Why is it that we are so stressed out? Because we are not taking these verses seriously. We're not taking God at His Word, and we're not taking His promises the way that we should. We have to take His Word seriously. Again, I hope you're writing down the verses that aren't there on the notes for you. Use them. Quote them back to God. Claim them unto the Lord. All right, so that's number two. "For I am with thee." He is right there with us. Number three, and this is an important one, "Be not dismayed." All right, so He gives us a couple phrases of encouragement. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Now He kind of gives us some instruction. "Be not dismayed." You know, this word "dismayed" really tells us a lot about what happens to us when we become stressed out, worried, and fearful. And I'm gonna give you the three really definitions or meanings of this word "dismayed." And this is what we need to avoid. It says, "Be not dismayed." First of all, dismayed means to look away. Dismayed means to look away. So the thought here is in the midst of stress and worry and fear, our natural tendency is to begin to look away from that stress, fear, and worry. And not only look away from it, but flee from it, like we talked earlier. And because of that, it causes us to look away from God. Our focus goes from being God-centered to us-centered. Our stress and worry and fear becomes magnified greatly because we begin to dwell on it. We focus on it, and it begins to consume us. All right, that's the part of the idea of being dismayed. We become dismayed. We begin to drown. We begin to be consumed in that stress and worry and fear, and we forget about what God can do. And we look away, and we want to run away and save ourselves instead of staying right where we need to be and allowing God to do the saving. Secondly, dismayed means to look out for oneself. You know, when we're dismayed, we start thinking about we start thinking about, "Well, man, look at me, look what I'm going through, why am I going through this?" Our focus goes to us. We begin to see the things around us that are causing the stress or worry or fear, again, instead of just relying on God to just be in control and handle the situation. And when we do this, we start taking matters into our own hands. And when we do that, we get ourselves ahead of God where God wants us to be. He begins following us instead of us following Him. And when God gets behind us, we're going to fall very, very quickly. Now, why? Why is that the case? Well, God promises that He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He promises us that He's going to be there. So if we get ahead of Him, He's going to put something in our path to stop us from getting ahead of us. Why? So that He can pick us right back up and put us where we belong, on His side or directly behind Him. It's such a vivid, vivid picture, the path that we should be on, hand in hand with the Lord, not ahead of Him. And that is so, so very important. It means we begin to look to ourselves. We get ahead of God. And then the third thing, interesting word that is used here, dismayed, means to be dazzled. To be dazzled. And literally, dazzled is this. What this means is temporary blindness. that leads us to becoming overwhelmed because of the situation that we have allowed ourselves to be in. You know, imagine just, you know, already being fearful, already being stressed out to the max, and then all of a sudden your sight is just gone. And when your sight is gone, all those levels of worry and fear and just a sense of being desperate just increases so drastically. And we do this to ourselves because we begin to rely on ourselves and we become dazzled. So the Bible says, be not dismayed. These are things that we have to fight against. These are things that we have to avoid. All right, number four, for I am thy God. For I am thy God. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. God, the word God here, the name of God here is Elohim. And that literally is He is the object of our worship. So the natural question here is God the object of our worship? Not just in the times when things are going well and smooth, but is God the object of our worship in the middle of the stress and worry and fear that we are fighting and going through? Or have we allowed the fear, the worry, and the stress to become our God? Sometimes we can allow that. We can allow those things to become the objects of worship in our life. If we spend more time dwelling on our stress and it's not allowing God to be first in our lives, then it has become a God in our lives, literally an idol. Our fear, our worry, our stress can consume us so much that it has taken the place of the one true God in our lives. And the Bible is so clear about idols. I want you to just turn to one passage, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. And I have in the margin of my Bible next to these verses the ultimate choice as Christians, the ultimate choice. I think the ultimate choice, obviously, to every human being is whether or not they're going to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I believe this is the ultimate choice for the Christian. Listen to these verses. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. So that's our choice. We have a choice to either be blessed or to allow our situation to be a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. That's our first choice. Are we going to obey? Are we going to continue to do what's right? Are we going to stick to what God has given us and commanded us to do? Or are we going to do what verse 28 says? And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known. So every day that we allow stress and worry and fear to consume us and control us, we have chosen it. It is a choice that we make, and it's a choice that we are allowing to be a curse in our life. And it is so very important that we do not allow this situation to become a curse, an idol in our life. Give it over to God. Choose to do what is right. All right, so that's number four, the fourth phrase. The fifth phrase, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. And we know these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read them to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 9 and 10, this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinthians. He said unto me, this is Jesus speaking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul continues to say, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Understand, the power of Christ can rest upon you. It can rest upon you. It can calm you. It can give you rest. But we have to allow Him to get that rest and allow His power to rest upon us. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Again, we know those verses. Are we using them? Are we claiming them? One more portion, if you would turn there with me, Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 32 through 38, this is the famous chapter, the chapter of faith, the hall of faith. And he's already listed some of the specific people, and then it gets down to the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 32. He says, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. How did they do this? Look at this next phrase, underline it. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." And I'll just stop there. Out of weakness were made strong. When we are at our weakest, when we're at our weakest point, that is our greatest opportunity to turn it into our strongest point. Let that sink in for just a moment. When you are at your weakest, that is our greatest opportunity to turn it into our strongest. Not by what we do, but what we allow the Lord to do in our lives. So he says, "I will strengthen thee." The sixth thing and the last thing that we're going to look at is the end of the verse of Isaiah 41:10. "Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And there are two things that I want you to notice about these last couple of phrases. First of all, the Holy Spirit of God is our intercessor. And what a privilege it is to have the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus Christ Himself as our intercessor. Let's look at those verses in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." You ever get to the point where you feel like you've prayed all that you can pray? You've said everything that you can say to the Lord. You don't know what else to ask Him. Well, that's when the Holy Spirit kicks in and takes our side and lifts us up in prayer, literally to the throne of God the Father. What a privilege it is to have that. "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Literally things that we cannot come up with to say, the Spirit has us covered. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." According to the will of God. That is key. Not our will, but to the will of God. And then the second thing that I want you to see, his right hand, it mentions his right hand in Isaiah 41:10, is powerful. It is powerful. When the Bible talks about the right hand of God, it usually is referring to God's military might. So when he says he's going to uphold us or lift us up by his right hand, we have in our grasp the power of the armies of heaven. And he will lift us up with that right hand. The New Testament refers to him twice as the Lord of Sabaoth, the God of the armies of Israel. So when God promises that he's going to uphold us with his right hand, there is literally unimaginable power in that promise. If we would just claim it and get a hold of it. So what an amazing verse of Scripture. What an amazing verse that can be an encouragement to us. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Let's pray together. Before we pray, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just by way of testimony, I won't call anybody out or embarrass anyone. Maybe there's a situation tonight that the Lord has spoken to you about, and you're struggling with this, with fear or worry or stress or whatever the case may be. And just, if you would, just as a testimony, the Lord spoke to you about something tonight, and you would like to ask for the Lord's power in your life to help you. Just by way of testimony, if the Lord spoke to you tonight, would you raise your hand? Amen. Hands all over the room. Thank you for that. In a moment, the altar is going to be open. Please come and just share your burden with the Lord. Give it over to Him. Remember that you can't do it on your own. You've got to give it over to Him. And right now is the first opportunity to do that. Give it over to Him. Give you an opportunity to do that here in just a moment. Lord, we love You. We thank You so much for speaking to us this evening. I just pray that each and every person that raised their hand tonight, that they would just draw close to You, that they'd seek forgiveness, maybe if they need to ask forgiveness, but they just would claim this verse and some other verses that we've given, that You've given tonight. Lord, I just pray that You'd encourage us, that You'd help us in the fear and the worry and stress that we're encountering right now. Lord, help us to just give it over to You. Lord, help us to understand that it's in Your hands, it's in Your control, and that we just give it over to You. Lord, we love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.